Let me dismiss the children here, ages 5 to 10. All right, Brother Navarro and Mrs. Blair, they're going to take care of you this morning. Children's Church teach you an important character lesson. And tell you an exciting missionary story. I wish I was hearing those missionary stories. And they're exciting, and they leave you hanging every week. You got to hear the rest of the missionary story the next week. And those are fun. And I wish I could be in children's church sometime. Wouldn't have to look at all these. No, sorry. I wish I could be in children's church sometime. And amen. Kids are exciting. Let's take our Bibles this morning and let's look to the book of Job together. The book of Job, if you let your Bible fall open to the middle, it would probably fall to about the book of Psalms or Proverbs. And just before Psalms, you'll find the book of Job. It's kind of spelt like Job. But this man's name was Job, and we're going to look at Job chapter number 1 this morning. Job chapter number 1, and let's go ahead and stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word. If you're physically able to do so, Job chapter number 1, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Perfect meaning he was a mature man, a complete man, and so on. He was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed or hated evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses or donkeys and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them, the devil. Verse 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" In other words, a hedge of protection. "And about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away, yet they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and hath consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away." In other words, they've stolen away the camels. "Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there also came another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house." In other words, knocked down the pillars, holding up the roof and so on. "And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." In other words, I came into this world with nothing, and I may return with nothing, he says. He says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you now, Lord, to help guide my thoughts. Spirit of God, would you help me to say what you want me to say? Help us all to be Spirit-filled listeners, that we would yield and allow God's Word to help us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I especially want you to notice verse number 20 there at the end of the chapter. Then Job arose and rent his mantle. In other words, he ripped his garment that he was wearing and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Fell to his knees, fell down upon the ground and worshiped God. He said at the end of verse 21, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job, sin not nor charge God foolishly." Maybe one of the reasons why God thought so highly of Job is because God knew how he would respond to tragedy. Before this tragedy even hit Job, God knows everything, and God knew how Job would respond. When Satan was, as the book of Peter tells us, Satan was walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He was walking to and fro, going about the whole earth, seeking for Christians that he could devour, God's people that he could devour. And so when Satan came in that day and came in the presence of God, from having stalked like a lion, if you will, and from stalking God's people throughout the earth, God asked him if he considered Job. "Have you considered Job?" He said, you've maybe taken out some other men. You've maybe taken out some others. But have you considered Job? One that fears God and hates evil. One that is perfect and upright and mature and so on in their life. Satan told God, "Listen, the only reason that Job was so good, the only reason that Job is so perfect and upright, the only reason why Job loves you, God, is because you've had a hedge of protection around him. The only reason why Job loves you, God, is because, you know what, you blessed him. He's one of the wealthiest people in the East. The Bible implies that. So he was a wealthy man. He was a blessed man. He had 10 children. He thought, I've got a full house. I've got the blessing of the Lord. He had things. He had many things. And Satan said to God, "That's the only reason why Job really loves you like he does." And God knew that that wasn't true. It was deeper than that with Job. There was more to it than that. And so God allowed Satan to bring some trials into his life and some difficulty. God gave him permission not to touch his body yet, but to touch his substance, the things that he had, and to take it from him. And in one day, we read it, Job lost everything. The servants of Job were plowing in the field when the Sabians came and took all their oxen and the servants and so on, took them away. One servant escaped and came back and told Job what happened. And the Bible says while he was still speaking to Job, another servant happened to walk in. And he came and told what had been done as well, that fire had come from heaven and consumed the sheep. And he was just still there speaking to Job when another servant comes in and says that the Chaldeans came and they stole away all the camels and killed all your other servants and I only am escaped to tell you. And he came and told Job what had happened. And that servant barely finished talking when in comes another servant and says, "At your oldest brother's house, all your sons and daughters were together, and a wind came, perhaps a tornado or something came, and the house collapsed, and all your children are dead." Job lost everything in one day. You can imagine Job's mind working. As a man, you might think, "Well, how am I going to recover everything? How am I going to..." But you know what? It was far deeper than that. He lost everything in one day. He lost his possessions. He had 10 children die at the same time. Could you imagine a funeral like we would have today? And could you imagine a room with 10 caskets all lined up across the front? All of different sizes, 10 caskets and 10 children all dying in one accident. There's no doubt that his heart and his wife's heart were devastated. They never had a chance to hug their kids for the last time, kiss their kids for the last time. All they could do was go to the house where their children had been killed and pull out their dead bodies from the rubble. Can you imagine the heartache that gripped his heart as a father? But how did Job respond when tragedy came to his family? His first reaction was to fall to his knees and worship God. That seems incredible. But his first reaction was to fall to his knees and worship God. He fell on his face and gave reverence to God. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, in our lives, sometimes we look and God has given much, but then we go through a trial and we think, oh, God's taken something away. We've maybe lived with many years of great health, and then we have some illness that strikes us, and maybe it's going to make us sick for the rest of our life. The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. And Job's response was that he still fell to his knees and worshiped. His response was to give reverence to the one who gave him life and thank him for the amount of time that he had with his children. Can I ask you something? What's your response when tragedies and trials strike at you? Job's response was not to look at what he had lost, but it was to look at what God had given him. He didn't look at just, well, this has all been lost. This has all been taken from me. I think he looked and considered, look at all that God did give me and all that I did enjoy and all the years that I did enjoy it. You know, this is what keeps a person from becoming depressed. This is what keeps a person from becoming suicidal. This is what keeps a person from coming back into a shell and putting a shell of protection around them, and then only occasionally coming out. And sometimes people live in a shell and they only lash out at certain times and end up hurting people around them. Why? Because of maybe some hurts that have come into their life. It all makes a difference by how people are choosing to respond to a tragedy, a trial. The first person that Job went to was God. His first response was to fall down and worship God. His first response wasn't to just go to some friend and look for sympathy from a friend. His first response was to go to God, who is the source of all comfort, the source of all strength. And that is, I believe, why Job could make it through a tragic time in his life. He didn't just, trouble came and he just called his best buddy. No, he went and he called God. He fell to his knees and worshiped God. Listen, we need to understand God is our source. You need comfort, you need strength. Listen, God is the source of that as well. Sometimes he gives good, and sometimes he giveth, and sometimes he taketh away. Sometimes there's sunny days, and sometimes you go through a trial in your life, and some of you are now. But Job's response was, blessed be the name of the Lord. How will you respond? If you will make your first response to tragedy the same as Job's, then you will find that you can make it through any tragedy. I guarantee you that everyone is going to face some sort of tragedy in their life. Everybody's going to face some sort of trial in their life. If it hasn't come already, it will come. The day is coming when you will go through the greatest heartbreak and heartache in your life that you've ever experienced. I hope that our first response would be to fall down and worship God. Not just to complain, but to thank God for what He has given. And let His Holy Spirit comfort us through tragedies. It's the only way to face tragedy and to keep tragedy from destroying you. I ask you this question this morning. The message is very simple. Is kneeling to pray your first reaction or your last resort? Is kneeling to pray your first reaction, your first response, or is it your last resort? People are funny. How many times can people become bullheaded in their life that they go full steam ahead to do things that they want to do, and then they pray and ask God to show them what He wants them to do? That's funny. Doesn't that seem a little bit backwards, a little bit mixed up? I've been amazed. I'm not an old man yet, I don't think. I'm 38 years old. But you know what? I've lived long enough, and in the ministry too, dealt with a lot of people to see times where, doesn't matter if it's a teenager or sometimes adults, where maybe more so adults, where they make their plans in life and they go ahead with their plans in life, and then they think, well, I should pray about it too. I should make sure I'm doing what God wants me to do. Listen, we got it all backwards. We got it all reversed. We should pray first. Don't move without God. Don't take a step without God. Sometimes when people do that, they don't really mean it because they've already decided what they want to do. Listen, that's not putting God first in our lives. When you face a trouble, is prayer the first thing that you turn to or the last thing that you turn to? When you have a problem, is kneeling to pray, is it your first reaction or is it your last option when, okay, I've tried everything else and nothing else has worked, so I better pray. When you have a question, a difficulty, a need in your life, is kneeling to pray your first reaction or your last resort? When you've asked everyone else for help, when nothing else seems to be working, and when you can't find a solution, and when you've struggled for a while, and you finally realize, I've got no other hope, is that when you finally realize, well, I better pray. Maybe God can help me. Do you finally then turn to God for help in your life? May I say this? God wants to be your first reaction and not your last resort. He wants to be your first reaction and not your last resort. God wants to be the first one that comes to your mind, not the last one that you think of when you need help. God wants to be your first option, not your last option when everything else has failed. God wants to be the first one that you call, the first one that you call in prayer, the first one that you tell, not the last person that you share things with. And I think oftentimes we get it in reverse. We got a problem, we got a trial, we got a difficulty, we got a question, we got whatever in our life. And we go to every other source, try to find the answer, try to figure out what to do, try to find the solution, try to find the answer, try to fix things ourselves. And if nothing else works, then we'll pray. Listen, I think God would like for kneeling to pray to become your first response, your first option, your first option. Let me quickly share with you just another quick Bible story, Numbers chapter 16. Turn back there just near the beginning of your Bible. You'll find Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Let's turn there together. And I just want to show you one other biblical example this morning from Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. And we're going to look there at verse number 4. I want to share with you an example from the life of Moses. In Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 1, it says, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, On, the son of Pelah, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron." Now, most of you would know Moses was to be the leader of the people of Israel. He was to be the leader of the nation. But here was a few hundred men that gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron. "And said unto them," verse 3, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." And when Moses heard it, he what? He fell upon his face. When Moses was faced with some difficulty, when Moses was faced with people that were just coming up against him and opposing him and so on, his first reaction was to fall to his knees. His first reaction was to pray. That's what needs to be our first reaction in life. Moses' first response. When some criticism came, when some opposition came, Moses fell to his face in prayer. He went to his knees. Look down at verse number 20. Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 20. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, Shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? You know what Moses' response again was to when God said there's going to be, I'm going to pass down a verdict upon the people. His first response was, fall to his knees. He fell to his knees. In this case, really, he was going to fall to his knees to intercede for them. But his first reaction was to go to his knees. His first reaction wasn't, I'm going to go figure something out. I'm going to go protect the people. I'm going to go warn them. I'm going to do something. I'm going to get in the way of God. No, his first reaction was to fall to his knees. He's facing difficult situations in life, Moses is, as the leader for the people. But his first reaction was fall to his face, fall to his knees in prayer and seek God's help. When he was faced with some opposition and a challenge and a question at the beginning of the chapter, he sought the Lord. He fell to his knees. God, what do you want? Here's what they're saying to me. God, what do you want me to do? He fell to his knees. Here in Numbers chapter 16, God told Moses not to worry about his enemies. He would take care of them. Moses' first reaction was simply to fall to his knees in prayer. Look at chapter 16 and look down to verse number 41. Chapter 16 and verse number 41. It says, but on the morrow, on the next day, in other words, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, murmuring is complaining. They were murmuring, they were complaining against Moses, against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation were gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. The murmuring, the criticizing, the people were gathered against Moses, but the glory of the Lord appeared. And God showed that he was with Moses. And Moses' first reaction in this time of difficulty was to fall to his knees in prayer. I want you to turn with me real quickly just over to chapter 20. Look at chapter 20, and I want you to see something here later in his life. See, Moses in his life, he was developing a habit. Moses in his life, it was becoming his first reaction was to drop to his knees. Drop to his knees. He'd pray. He had some opposition. He had some hardship. He had some difficulty. He had a situation. I don't know how to handle this, God, or I don't know how to deal with these people. I don't know what their solution is. He was developing this reaction of fall to his knees and pray. And in Numbers chapter 20, verse number 1, later in Moses' life, in the time when he's in the wilderness, look what it says. Numbers 20 and verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die here? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. Listen, the people are coming against Moses and wanting to blame him and say, it's all your fault now. Here we are now wandering in the wilderness. Here we are going across this wilderness. We're in the desert and we've got nothing to drink. How are we going to drink? Who's going to feed us? It would have been better for us if we would have just stayed in Egypt. This is all your fault, Moses. Where have you brought us now? We're all going to die because of you. And the people were coming up against him. But you know what? Moses learned to respond the same way a long time ago. Trouble, difficulty, a problem, need something. Now he really needed something. He got a whole lot of people that needed water. They were going to die. You know what he did? Went to his knees. He went to his knees. Verse 6 says, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. They fell upon their faces. They went to their knees. They went to prayer. Moses' first reaction became to fall upon his face in prayer, to fall to his knees in prayer. Under all circumstances, facing all obstacles, Moses knew his only hope, his only and best option was Go to my knees. Go to my knees. God's the one that can help me. There's a problem. There's a question. There's a need here. What am I going to do? Go to my knees, because God has the answer. That's what Moses learned. Can I ask you very simply, how about in your life? How about in your life? Is kneeling your first reaction, or is kneeling your last resort? Is kneeling your first reaction, or is kneeling your last resort? Brother Paul, if you'd slip out there and get Ashley for me, please. I hope that kneeling to pray would become our first reaction, our first response, our first option, and not our last. You know, we maybe don't even necessarily think about it. It's not like, well, we go and I check not option one and option two and option three, and well, all these options have failed, and so, you know, option G, option H is, well, I'll try God. I'll try praying. We don't think that way, but you know what? Too often, that's what happens. When we're first struck with a problem, rather than our reaction be to go to our knees and pray, our reaction is, well, I'm going to go tell somebody. I need sympathy from somebody, or I need help from somebody, or I need the answer from somebody, or somebody can help me figure it out, or somebody's got the solution, or somebody can help me through this. Listen, God wants to help you through this. Whatever trial, whatever difficulty, whatever question, whatever situation in your life, no matter what it is, the things that you deal with on a day-to-day basis, whether it be deep trials in your life or seemingly smaller problems, God wants to be your refuge. He wants to be your help. He wants to be your strength. He wants to be the one that helps you solve problems. He helps provide the answers to your questions. I wish we could learn to make kneeling our first reaction and not our last resort. When you have a problem that needs fixed, when you have a question you need answered, when you have a difficult mountain, so to speak, in your life to climb, stop calling on so-and-so for help. Maybe go to them later, but first go to God. First go to God. I want God to be at the forefront of your mind. I want God to be at the front of your mind, that He's the one that we first think of. I want Christ to be at the center of your life, at the center of my life. That no matter what we're going through, Christ is the one we turn to. God is the one we turn to in our life. That He becomes your first option and not your last. My heart's desire, and I think it's also God's heart's desire for you, is that kneeling to pray would become your first reaction in every situation and not your last resort. Those of you that are parents and you've had children, you know what it's like sometimes when maybe a child has tried to figure something out for themselves. And they've tried everything they possibly can to figure out something, or they've tried everything they possibly can to do something. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, putting something in this thing or some bigger thing. Something that a little child may be trying to figure out. Something a little child is trying to do. And they try everything they can. And sometimes they would refuse help. Oh, no, I'm okay. I don't need your help. I don't need your help. And they go on, and they try, and they try, and they try, and they try, and to do everything they can to figure it out for themselves. And then finally they realize, well, I need Dad's help. Or I need Mom's help. And they come to you. And you probably help them. And you know what? Dad doesn't mind that. Mom probably doesn't mind that. Helping them when they come to you for help. But you know what I think every dad and mom would prefer? And you know what I think the Heavenly Father would prefer? That you'd come to Him first. Come to Him first. Rather than spending all your time trying to figure something out like a little child might do and eventually come to Daddy and Mommy. Hey, why not go to your Heavenly Father first? Why not go to God first when you can't figure something out? When you don't know what to do? When you've got a burden in your life? Go to God first. Let Him be your first option, because He is the best option. And He is able. He will be able to help you. Our Heavenly Father is the very same way. He wants to be your first option. You can trust Him. You should trust Him. Have faith in Him. Have faith in His ability to help you. Let's make kneeling to pray become our first reaction and not our last resort. Let it become your first response and not, well, my last option when I've tried everything else and nothing else has worked. Well, I better pray. No. Let kneeling become your first reaction. Difficult. Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. I'm so far from perfect. I'm preaching the Word of God, not preaching something I perfectly live. Okay? But you know what? I've tried to many times with my children, try to have Christ at the front of my mind, have God at the front of my mind, that if they have a difficulty, let's pray about it. Times, let's pray about it. You know, it could be something simple. It could be a little problem. It could be a little situation that maybe needs to be worked out. Let's pray about it. Something that they might be struggling with in their schoolwork or in a situation of life or in handling something or dealing with a situation. Let's pray about it. Oh, and we can talk about it afterwards. But you know what? Just all our human talking about things, and that's not as good as getting God's help. Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. Kneeling to pray needs to become our first reaction and not our last resort.